Now, our focus scripture this morning is coming from the book of Galatians. Deacon Chapman, can you give me just a little bit more gain on this mic? Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians 2 and 20. I have been, was everyone there yet? Say amen when you're there. I want Galatians, yes, 2 and 20. Yes, I won't run off and leave anybody. And the scripture reads, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Our Father and our God. As we come to your throne of grace this morning, Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you. We thank you for waking us up this morning, Heavenly Father. We thank you for life, health, and strength. We thank you for things being as well as they are. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings on those who have lost loved ones recently. We ask, Heavenly Father, your blessings on those who are going through as their loved ones in the hospital, Heavenly Father. We just ask that you be with them, Heavenly Father, that you touch them, that you continue to let them know, Heavenly Father, that they are not alone, that you are with them, Lord. And Heavenly Father, as you are with them, Heavenly Father, they can draw strength from you. Because, Heavenly Father, we know that the doctors, Heavenly Father, that you have placed on earth, Heavenly Father, are humans just like we are. Heavenly Father, the final say is in your hand. And so we give it all to you, Lord. We just pray, Heavenly Father, that your outcome, Heavenly Father, be what it is you would have it to be. And Heavenly Father, we also pray that everybody that finds themselves in this situation, Heavenly Father, and everybody on earth recognizes, Heavenly Father, who you are, acknowledges you for who you are, and gives their lives, Heavenly Father, to your Son, Jesus Christ, so that they may be saved. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and hallelujah. So giving honor to God, Pastor Pickens, who so graciously allows us to stand, our ministers and brothers and sisters in the ministry, Reverend Price, Reverend Brown, Reverend Smith, our deacon brothers and our saints this morning. The title of our sermon this morning is The Cross Is Not a Christmas Tree. The Cross Is Not a Christmas Tree. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, that's much better. Yes. And we have three points of emphasis this morning that we're going to be looking at. Yeah, that's much better. The first one is that the cross must be lived daily. The cross must be lived daily. The second one is that the cross must be personal. Mm-hmm. The cross must be personal. And the third one is the cross cannot be stored until we need it. And I know that some of you all out there are probably thinking, well, where is he going with this? What is on his mind and why would he compare the cross or put the cross and a Christmas tree in the same title for a sermon? And so when you think about that, you have to remember that the cross must be lived daily. It's important that we stay with that process. Because, you know, Easter was almost a month ago. Okay. And I ask you this morning, what do you remember about that day? Do you remember what you were wearing? Do you remember what you had for dinner? But more importantly, is there anything that you have forgot about that day. You know, what touched your spirit, man, so deeply that you have remembered it almost a month removed from the day that we commemorated the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? You know, did you take this Easter for granted, thinking that there will always be another? And I ask that question because, you know, we've been informed. Pastor gave us an announcement this morning, and I've had three different people come up to me this week and tell me that they have lost loved ones in their family just recently. And so, you know, if we took Easter for granted, we have to ask ourselves, what are we doing? You know, have we already put away our cross? Easter was a month ago. Have we already put our cross away? You know, and so this is where this self-reflection piece comes in. You guys know when I'm preaching, I'm going to ask you to look inside first, because it always starts with us. You know, I need you to be honest with yourself. And more importantly, be honest with God. You know, if the answer to these questions don't exemplify the life God will want you to be leading, you know, and we need to take a closer look at this scripture. And we're going to go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verse 23. Then he said to them all, again, Luke 9 and 23, I hear those pages turning. I know y'all with me this morning. Thank you. And the scripture reads, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You know, in saints, you know, when you think about that scripture, you think about what it says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And saints, according to this scripture, one way we can make sure that the cross is not forgotten, like a Christmas tree that's stored in our attic, is that we pick it up daily. Because see, I know what happens to those Christmas trees, because I have one. And my wife is infamous for like, uh-oh, it's Christmas time. They get the Christmas tree down, get the ornaments down, set the Christmas tree up, set the Santa Claus up, make sure everything's decorated. I want to feel like it's Christmas in here. Well, do we feel like carrying our cross every day? That's the question. Because the Christmas tree, you know, we celebrate that one time a year, but this cross piece, we got to be picking that up every day. You know, every day we get up, every day we lay down, we should remember the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior and allow our lives to be representative of the sacrifice that he made for us on that cross. You know, our constant question should be, what have we done for him today? Not what he can do for us. Because, you know, we pray and we ask God for a lot of stuff. I'm constantly going to God. God, I need, God, I need, God, I need. When do we get to go to God and say, God, I'm giving this to you. This is yours, God. This is my reasonable service. This is what I'm going to give. Because I want you to bless it, Lord, because I'm doing the best I can. This is all I got. It don't have to be much. It's about the spirit and how you give it that matters. See, if you're giving it grudgingly because I don't want to give it, then don't give it. If you don't want to help your neighbor, then don't help him. But that's on you. Because the Lord says, you know, when you see those who are in need and you shut up your heart to them, there is going to be some consequences for that. Yeah. The Lord knows and he sees everything. And so there's not going to be any question about what it is that you're doing or what you didn't do. Yeah. It's going to be a question of how you did it. And did you do it for him or did you do it to be seen? Amen. Amen. Now, second point of emphasis this morning is the cross must be personal to you. Because, see, if the cross is not personal to you, then it's not going to move you. Your spirit man is not going to be touched by it because it's not deep enough in where it needs to be. You know, and I want you to think for a moment And think about something that you cherish. Think about something that you really like, that you appreciate, that you have. And I'm going to ask you, is it hidden? Is it stored in a dark area where no one can see it? Stuffed in a bag where it cannot be seen or felt, waiting again in the dark for you to pull it out when you need it? Because he knows, see, if that thing that you cherish is truly personal to you, you know exactly where it is. And you don't mind showing it off to others. You know, have you shown your cross to anyone lately? You know, we have cars, we have houses, diplomas, careers, families. All of those things are nice, and we like to show them off. But they are also just like that Christmas tree. That Christmas tree can't get you into heaven. But if you're picking up your cross daily and following Jesus, that is what it's going to take for you to get into heaven. Make no mistake, saints. I don't want you to be misled. I don't want you to be bamboozled. I don't want you to be listening to anybody that's telling you that anything will get you into heaven. There's only a few things that God has asked us to do that will get us in line for what it is he wants us to do in the afterlife. Amen. Don't miss them, saints. Because the world will tell you a whole bunch of stuff. Yeah. Oh, you can be a good person. Yeah. All you have to do is, you know, just be friendly and make people like you, and you'll be good to go. That is not what God has said in his word. So don't be misled. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, I'm going to give y'all a minute to get there. 1 Corinthians 1 and 18. And see, this is where that piece comes in about all of these things that the world would tell you that you need to do to be able to get into heaven. They don't ask for much. But see, this is a little different. It says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. See, in the message of the cross, the message of the cross, says foolishness to those who are perishing. See, when you start talking about Jesus, you got some folks whose ears are going to perk up, and you got some folks that's going to turn their back. Yeah. Or they're going to look at you strange. Yeah. What are you talking about? Why are you talking about him? Yeah. What is it that he done for you lately? Yeah. Yeah. How is it the fact that I prayed and I didn't get what I wanted, so I'm not praying to him no more? Yeah. Those type of folks, you know. But again, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. And have we forgotten the message of the cross? The message of the cross is found in Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, if it's a couple of scriptures in the Bible that we ought to have memorized, that's one of them. We shouldn't have to look for that. We shouldn't have to turn our pages there, because that is the message. Everything that is the gospel is wrapped around and in that verse. Because if the cross hadn't happened, imagine where we would be. If the cross hadn't happened, if Jesus had decided when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, God, Father, because that was his father, he could call him that, Father, this is too much. Yeah. It's too much. I know the plan. I know what your will is, and you're going to take me, who has known no sin, and you planning to place the sins of the world on me? All of the sins that have been committed up to this point, and all the sins that we've committed forever, are going to be placed on me? Yeah. Woo! That's a lie. You know, I've been in a situation where I've been with my son. He's sitting out there in the audience right now, and periodically he looked at me, "Dad, you want me to do that?" Yeah. I expect you to get that done. I expect you to be an athlete and have good grades. Yeah. I expect you to be a young man and be respectful. Those are things we expect. And so God told his son, "This is my expectation. Your responsibility is, and question is, are you going to do what I'm asking you to do or not?" Jesus. And we know that weight was heavy. Because, again, like I say, sin is heavy. When you know you have committed sin, you thinking about it, doesn't your heart get a little heavy? Lord, I really didn't intend to do that. I know I shouldn't have done that. But then, can you imagine that heaviness multiplied millions of times and laid on you? But yet, Father, not my will, but your will be done. And so see, when we leave the message of the cross in the attic along with our Christmas tree, instead of sharing it daily, our relationship with Christ gets dimmer. And it gets dimmer and dimmer each day until we can no longer hear him or feel him. You know, and if your relationship with Christ seems a little dimmer since Easter, go back and see how much attention and emphasis you have placed on this message of the cross. You know, are you storing the message of the cross and perishing? Or are you sharing the message so that someone else who needs it can receive it and can be strengthened by you? Because as you share that message, see, that message is going to do two things. One is going to make you feel a little bit better about your situation, because not that we're perfect, but when we do something that we know God is going to be pleased with, doesn't that make you feel just a little bit better? You feel better. You can stand a little straighter. You can walk a little taller. Your smile is a little brighter. Because I know at least, Lord, there's one thing that I have done today that you're going to be happy with. But when we go in the opposite direction, again, that heaviness returns. We don't want to be there. We don't want to be there. And our third topic today is a cross cannot be stored until we need it. See, back to that Christmas tree thing again, see, back to my wife, God bless her soul. That Christmas tree, stay where it is because it's out of the way until she declares that it's time for it to come down. And again, Junior, you know how often we have hauled that Christmas tree out of the attic and brought it down there. So, but when she declares that it's time for it, we get it. But the cross can't be like that. The cross can't be something that you just put up and leave and then pick it up when you need it. You know, and then we ask, you know, when will we truly need the cross? Because, as I mentioned before, the cross is heavy. The cross comes with some responsibilities. The cross comes meaning we're going to keep our mouth shut when we really would like to give our neighbor a piece of our mind. We say we want to bless them. We're not blessing them. We already know we want to tell them. But see, you know, those type of things, that's when the cross gets heavy. And then we sit there and a few minutes later, "Lord, you know, I should have. I could have." But yet we know we've already done it, so we just have to ask for forgiveness and keep moving. But see, the time we're going to need the cross most is the day God says our soul is required at the judgment. And it's time to answer for everything that we have done in these earthly vessels that he has left us in right now. See, we don't want to find ourselves needing the cross at that point, needing the message of the cross at that point, not having. Because then, you know, because you might not be able to make it to the attic that day. Attic stair might break, might be having some pain in your legs. You might not be able to climb that day. So, cross needs to be with you all the time. Reason being is because in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. See, I told you all, see, that's just being a good person. When I get you into heaven, there's some things that you that God is expecting us to do. And so we have to be about the business of getting those things done. And so what is the will of God? Because, see, again, like I say, when the one thing about the scriptures, that generally if you're reading the scriptures the way you're supposed to be reading the scriptures and you hear God speaking to you, when you read that scripture, That should be your next question. What is the will of God? And see, if you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18, we will find what the will of God is. Because I don't want y'all, again, like I said, I don't want y'all to be lost. I don't want y'all to have to be listening to anybody else that's telling you what they think the will of God is, because they might not know. So the word is where we find our answers at. We don't want to hear your opinion. We don't want to hear what you thought. We don't want to hear what you heard on Kennedy the other day. Fox News, we don't want to hear that. We want to hear what the word says about what the will of God is. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, the will of God is to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. See, I try not to ask questions up here that God, the Holy Spirit, is already not giving me the answer. I want to make sure that I've consulted with him and he is consulting with me. Because like I said, I don't want to leave you in a situation where you don't know. But see, we need to break down the scripture a little bit to make sure we can get an understanding of what this will piece means. You know, and see, we cannot rejoice always if our cross is in the attic. Because when things are not going our way, and if that's where our cross is, we're going to forget the scripture that says, if God be for us, who can be against us? See, we see again, like I say, that all of these answers, saints, that we need are found in the Word of God, but we have to know where they're at. We have to spend time in the Word of God so we can listen and learn to what God wants us to do. You know, if it got difficult for Jesus, and it got so difficult that he asked his Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know, you plan to put the sins of the world on my shoulders, Dad. And if you think that was heavy for him, then the word also says that if we are following him and we have picked up our cross daily, periodically, we're going to feel some of the same things that he felt. And so what about us? And so we even in our difficulties, we have to find ourselves rejoicing. Because, and you know why we have an opportunity to rejoice? Because even though it might be difficult right now, we also know that God handles the impossible. So he can bring us out of whatever difficulty we find ourselves in if it's his will. But it's according to the power that works in us, it's according to our faith. If we don't believe, then we're going to find ourselves lacking. And then we cannot pray without ceasing if our cross is in the attic. Because, again, when life gets difficult, and I keep mentioning these difficulties because there are some. And just because you're not in them right now don't mean it might be your turn tomorrow. But when life gets difficult, we'll forget to pray. We'll do everything else. We'll call Sally. We'll call JoJo. We'll look for answers everywhere. We'll forget to pray. And what we also will do is we won't remember that God will not forget that we forgot to pray. So you have to remember that he is watching everything that we do. And see, when you want him to respond, he needs to be your first call not your second or third or fourth lifeline. He needs to be the only lifeline you have. But it can't be that way if your cross is stored in the attic because you won't know how to call him. And then we cannot give thanks in everything. So we're going right through the scripture. Right here it says, is, you know, in everything give thanks. We can't give thanks in everything if our cross is in the attic, because if we only had today, what we remember to thank God for yesterday, what would we have today? Because if we forgot to thank God yesterday for sending his son to the cross for us, for our sin, not his sin, our sin, if we send him to the cross for us for that, then there will be no salvation for us today because we didn't thank him for it yesterday. But see, when you keep your cross with you, you're constantly in the mindset of, this is why I'm thankful. This is why I'm grateful. This is why I serve him. This is why I don't mind providing my reasonable service. This is the reason why I don't mind giving my tithes. This is the reason why I don't mind helping my neighbor when they need it. This is the reason why I don't mind helping the elderly. I don't mind stopping by the nursing home. I don't mind taking folks groceries. I don't mind providing for those who are in situations that are worse than myself. Because in the front of my mind, there before the grace of God go I. And lastly, we need to remember that if our cross, that one that Jesus told us to take up daily and follow him, is stored in the attic. Guess what else is in the attic? Grace and mercy, along with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Salvation and eternal life are stored in the attic. And so when you need those things, and they are not with you, they are not a part of you, you have not internalized them, you have not cherished them. When you need those things, grace and mercy, the salvation of Jesus Christ, eternal life, because again, that's one thing that I promise you, and this is certainly the truth, that everyone in this room under the sound of my voice, the moment the doctor slapped you on your backside and you took your first breath, you begin to die. Amen. One day, God is going to say, it's time. And he's not going to ask you. He's not going to consult anybody. There are no consultants there. You know, like doctors, oh, yeah, let's go and do a consult. We're going to put about 5 or 6 doctors in the room. And we're going, well, you said this, you said this, you said this. He's not going to consult. There is nobody to consult. There's only one thing that's going to save us and keep us from being in the situation where we need a consultation. Does Jesus know you? Does he know you? Do you know him? Have you given your life to him? That is the only thing that's going to keep us out of a situation where there's no hope. And so, the message for everyone this morning is the cross is not a Christmas tree. Don't store it. Pick it up, live it, and share it. To God be the glory, saints. Thank you all very much. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huff Smith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 877-207-7070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."